We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Matt Steinmetz with you here as well, talking about the latest development with Jonathan Kuminga. Yes, it's still a stalemate, but details are leaking out from now Kuminga's side of things, as well as the Warriors. Both sides are, they haven't put their cards on the table, Steiny, but I think we're finally getting to some place of understanding of where both sides are coming from, as opposed to just kind of speculating, questioning, wondering. And this is from our YouTube chat at Co Pest Control, asking about some of the details from Steve Kerr and maybe what his role in this is. This is also from Slater's article, VSBN. What they basically tried to pitch, the Warriors, is that Kuminga would be a significant part of the Warriors' rotation to open next season, and they'd need his supplementary scoring on nights when Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler rest. That's something Steve Kerr has told Kuminga in recent weeks. Kerr has been one of the leading voices trying to patch things together, sources said. I mean, I kind of think that's the root of Kuminga's problem, is really his relationship with the coach. Now, I think they probably like each other as people, but I do not think that DMPs in the most important games of the season are something that I don't know if he can ever really get over. Like, in terms of trying to mend things, that's a clear message from Kerr.
Well, and let's just take things at face value. Jonathan Kuminga said he wants to be the guy, or a guy, part of something, a core. He wants to be relied upon. Read that sentence again, if you don't mind.
The last one?
Yeah.
So, Kuminga's role in the rotation, supplementary scoring on nights that Steph and Jimmy have to rest.
Right. And this is where...
That's
and
I try what he's
to,
told him.
Right. And you're right. This is where I try to look at how both sides would be thinking. And I think Jonathan Kuminga would say, hit the pike. Like no. No. That, I've heard that for 4 years. And this is where he is right. Like, they can tell him he'll get more of an opportunity, but in fairness to him, he has no obligation to believe him. And I'll acknowledge that from his side. You know, just we're gonna have you in the rotation early, and then obviously we're gonna need you. And they're also, I guarantee you, and this would. I'm sorry. I think this is the way players think. I think Kuminga thinks, oh, okay, so let me get this straight. You don't value me very much when Butler and Curry play, but when we miss one of them, then you want me to be the star. That would piss me off. It just would.
Yeah, your plan B, basically.
Exactly.
Be there on nights that our main guys aren't, because we got to win some games. And in a way, that's kind of a pressure that's unfair, because he's going to be judged on games where the best players aren't available. And it's almost like, again, it's setting him up to fail. Because I don't think that Kuminga is a player that is going to single-handedly win you a bunch of games. He's just not, at least at this stage in his career. And he may never be that player. I don't know. But, so you're telling me that I'm going to come off the bench. Some nights I might play 15 minutes. Other nights I might play 30 minutes. Yeah, you're going to give me a chance at a run, but you gave me an opportunity before, and then you gave me the hook. Like, he's just feeling like it's the same message as the last four seasons. And that's why, with all respect to Steve Kerr, I completely understand why Kuminga would look at him and say, so nothing's changing, is basically what you're saying. Nothing's going to change next season. That's not what I'm here for. Kuminga is, I think, trying to force his way out because he wants change. He wants an opportunity. And I don't think as long as Steve Kerr is the head coach, that opportunity is going to be there.
All right, I want to give Kuminga some credit here, and here's what I'm thinking is, I think there's a worry that, well, if he's so disappointed that nothing's happened and he has no business being here long term, he'll say, fine, I'll play under the qualifying offer, because at least that ensures that I will get out of here no later than 1 year from now. But then the question comes in, well, how motivated is he going to be? Or is that going to be a problem? But listen, Jonathan Kuminga last offseason was one of four players who didn't get a contract extension in his class. And he also saw about five players get max. All right? Like, he didn't come in last season with a bad attitude or not wanting to play. And I get it. Like, he wants a contract this season and he just didn't take one last year. But he could have come into last season mopey and pouty and kind of all, like, the eye test would show he didn't want to be here, but there was none of that. He played. He was playing well. He got hurt. Then things changed. So on the one hand, I do think if he feels like he has to play on the qualifying offer, I actually think he would try and
he'd have to.
Yeah, exactly.
There'd be no choice.
But it still wouldn't be a good scenario, because you'd still have a player that doesn't want to be there. And even though I think he would look, you know, he even though I'm confident he would be professional, but the problem is that one little extra loyalty, commitment, sacrifice, all that stuff, you can't expect from him.
888-957-9570 is the number. What are you doing right now? Are you cutting bait? Are you trying to trade him this summer? Are you okay with bringing him back? I want to hear from the people.
Can I assume cutting bait means making that deal with the Kings?
Or the Suns.
Okay.
Yeah, making one of those trades that just gets you something. And it's really, the goal of cutting bait would be to add by subtracting.
Right.
That this is a player who you don't think is going to be able to help you, either because he doesn't want to be here or because he's focused on himself, essentially. And again, I completely understand why he would operate next year like that. But if he's going to be playing for himself next season in what's going to be one of the last opportunities for Steph Curry to compete for the playoffs and a potential championship, that's not something I'm really interested in finding out about. Let's go to Steve, who's in San Mateo, has a solution for us. Steve, good morning. What's going on? How are you?
Good. Great show. And you were just talking about Kuminga. The conundrum the Warriors in is really caused by Steve Kerr, who cannot develop young players. And he even praised Kuminga when the games he had against Houston in regular season. And then he depended on him when Steph was hurt in the playoffs. But Kerr cannot coach but small ball. And even Butler says he can play with Kuminga. So Warriors in this position is because of Steve Kerr. So my solution is remove Steve Kerr. He comes back in space. That's my humble opinion.
Appreciate the call. Well, and you might not be wrong. I mean, I'm firing Steve Kerr if one player and one player only says he should be fired, and that's Steph Curry. And I still might not even do it because Curry, I could probably talk him out of it. But the
thing is, too, I believe that Jimmy thinks that he could play with Kuminga.
I think so, too.
I believe that Curry believes he could play with Kuminga. The question is, does JK think that he can play with those guys? And actually, I take that back. Does Steve Kerr think that he can play with those guys? That's really the guy who's at the center of all this. Like, I think the reason why the relationship between JK and the Warriors has in some sense eroded over this summer is because he doesn't trust the head coach. He doesn't believe that the head coach, who is offering these words of, I don't know if it's wisdom, but trying to quote unquote mend this relationship and get him back, like, he doesn't trust him.
And that was written a couple years ago, if you remember. That was the one where...
After the Nuggets game.
Yeah, Kuminga didn't say it, but there was a report that his camp said he'd lost trust in Steve Kerr. Think about, Think about if you're another team and if you're just looking at the Warriors situation logically. All right, so you look at Kuminga. All right, well, first of all, the Warriors don't play him a lot. You know what I mean? Like, the whole league, what's going on with Kuminga? Like, should he be playing? So the Warriors don't play him a lot, okay? They also don't want to pay him a lot, clearly. But yet they want another team to pay him a lot and give up assets for him. It's like if I'm another team out there, I'm thinking, wait a minute. You don't like him as a player, clearly, because you don't play him a lot. You don't want to pay him, but you want to rake us over the coals? That's all right. We're not going to do that. And I completely understand that.
Well, and this is from the 925. I think a lot of people are kind of starting to feel this way, if not already. I don't want Jonathan Kuminga on the Warriors next year, even if they have to cut him for no money. Well, that's a little strong, but take whatever they can get and get him off the team. You know, I'm starting to feel sort of that way too. Like, all right, do I like Royce O'Neal and Grayson Allen? Not really. I mean, I think Grayson Allen's he's a better 3-point shooter than people, I think, just look at him and see. Royce O'Neal is fine. But, like, can those guys be playable this year? Because, I do not think that Kuminga wants to be on the team next year. And if he is, again, we're gonna do this all season long. Every single game, every single time that Kuminga plays well, he plays poorly, Kerr's going to be grilled about what's going on with JK. And to me, bringing a circus back to Golden State is one of the reasons why a couple of years ago I felt like the season got derailed a bit. It's because there were distractions. There were things that didn't have to do with basketball. And if he's on this team this upcoming season, it's always going to be about, well, when are you thinking about trading him? Or what's his value right now coming up? And like, everybody's just going to have January penciled or circled because that's the date that Kuminga becomes available to trade. And how are we going to use him to upgrade this roster?
Yeah, and I'm somebody that looks at basketball in this kind of way. Does Kuminga have more potential than Grayson Allen?
Of course.
No doubt about it. However, like, if Kuminga's not on the Warriors next year, but Grayson Allen is, and I'll throw Royce O'Neal in there. I kind of feel like Royce O'Neal's more on the downside. I actually think Grayson Allen is okay. So when I look at it, it's like if Kuminga's not here, but you get Grayson Allen, it doesn't automatically, you're not worse. Like, I don't think you're automatically worse because you haven't allowed Kuminga, and Kuminga hasn't seized the opportunity to be a hugely important player on this team. And so whether we like it or not, we've got to acknowledge that as far as winning and losing goes, Kuminga hasn't been the most important person direct in that in one way or the other. So you lose, you'll trade away Kuminga's potential, but I'm not sure you're going to pay a price for replay. I think you can, I don't think it's a big deal replacing what Kuminga has been or eliminating it completely and upgrading in another area of your team.
Well, yeah, like Kuminga brings you scoring and athleticism, something they certainly lack, but I'm operating under the premise, again, based on Kuminga's message to Sham Sharadia yesterday. He has no interest in signing a contract anytime soon. His camp, Aaron Turner, his agent, is on social media debunking ideas of the contract he didn't take last summer. He's talking about how, essentially, you know, they're at an impasse and that the fair offer the Warriors believe to be on the table for him, he's not taking. You know, Kuminga does not want to sign a contract with the Golden State Warriors. And this was Tim Kawakami yesterday with Grandy and Dibs talking about what he thinks is going to happen here.
The way it looks like, I've been saying for like a month now, like I would guess he's coming back on a short-term deal and then maybe look to be traded. Because I think he wants to be on another team. I think he does. And I think the Warriors have different opinions on this if you ask different members, but I think the consensus probably is if he would be better off be traded if they could get something back for him. That just isn't the situation right now. So you might have to wait to January or February before you can do the ideal situation. That's just the clunkiness of what this is.
Yeah, and again, I think that's problematic if you go into the season with basically an unresolved issue. And that's what this contract situation has become, an unresolved problem. It's holding up them signing Horford. It's holding up them signing Melton. It's holding up them potentially signing someone like Seth Curry, who's also been linked to the Golden State Warriors. It's holding up them doing what they need to get done this summer. And I just think it's essentially going to linger into training camp and at the beginning of the year.
Let's say the Warriors, let's say it gets close to October 1st. And, you know, it's still been no. And the Warriors say, okay, well, now you got two choices. It's 30 days has September, April, June, and November, September. So on September 30th, nothing's happened. And the Warriors say, you got two choices. You can play on the qualifying offer for eight, or we'll give you 2 years for $40 million. We'll give you $20 million a year for the next 2 years. It's a short contract. We'll give you our word that we'll try to trade you. But for the next 2 years, you'll make $20 million. Okay? So Jonathan Kuminga comes back, and he not only doesn't have, he still doesn't have the role he wants at $20 million, but now he has no control where they could send him. The qualifying offer at least gives him some leverage in terms of, I will not end up somewhere I don't want to be. And that, I don't know how much that means to him. I don't know if it's just, I'll go to 29 other teams, I just don't want to play for the Warriors, or no, I don't want to be traded to, I'm starting to think he might be okay going to any team.
He might be at this point. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk righteously brewed in San Francisco. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson's going to be back on Monday down in L.A. right now. Steiny's here as always. Let's go to Rafi, who's in Berkeley, wants to get in on the conversation. Rafi, what's up, man? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Going well.
Fantastic. What's up?
All right. You know, my take on this, to me, this has non-basketball people's name all over it. And by that, I mean Kuminga's agent. And, you know, obviously knowing absolutely nothing, I think Joe Lacob, I think Kuminga's agent has sold him real false promises about his value. I mean, the league has spoken. This guy is not, I know we've got salary cap considerations like kind of all over the league, but if you look at what happened in the offseason, people have gotten money, and people have gotten paid, and people have gotten contracts, and the league has very clearly said, this guy's not worth much. And to me, on the other side of the coin, I actually just see, we all know Kuminga, Joe Lacob was kind of really forward in saying that, like, Kuminga has been his guy. He likes the guy. He was a terrible pick. I mean, he was a development pick from the get. And he's trying to get real value for him, which is my take on why he hasn't moved, is because he thinks he's way more valuable than he actually is. And Kuminga thinks he's way more valuable than he actually is. And real basketball people have made it very clear that this guy's not very valuable.
Hey,
a lot of drama.
Rafi, let me
someone
ask.
Someone who's just a scorer.
Yeah, Rafi, let me ask you this, because I do agree. Like, this is what I would say from Kuminga's side. I think you're right about this year. The NBA's spoken. They don't like him. They're going to get another chance to speak next offseason. You know what I mean? Like, he could get something next season just because of the, you know, what's going on with how many more teams will have money. So I don't think there's any doubt he would do okay in that situation. But I think you're right. I think this year it's over, and it because nobody's got money right now anyway.
Yeah, no one's got money. It's over, and I think he's just been sold a real false bill of goods by, I think, a lot of people on both the Warriors. I think he's been sold it by Lacob, and I think he's been sold it by his agent. And I also, and this is just another an aside, but I think the league is taking a hard look at guys who are just scorers. And even, you know, like, you're going to have to be kind of a miserable, you're going to have to be the Pelicans to pay this guy $25 million a year. I think real teams with functional front offices, they're not interested in guys who aren't even going to rebound or pass or play team defense. I mean, give me a break. Like,
yeah.
I think the era of guys who are just in it to score 20 and not do too much on a real team is over.
I got you, Rafi. Great call. And it kind of, he touches on something. Like, I was listening to, like, Rich Paul was on SiriusXM radio, I think it was a week or two ago, and he was talking about reading the summer market. And it was one of the reasons that he wanted to, as quickly as possible, get a deal done for Brandon Ingram when he got traded from the Pelicans to the Raptors. I think it was, he got him a lot of money. It was like 3 for 120. He got him $40 million a year. And he said one of the reasons was because he saw there was no money out there for his client.
Yep.
If he let Brandon Ingram hit free agency, he would be stuck in a similar situation. There's no chance he would have been a $100 million player. Now, that took the Raptors giving him that money. But I think Rafi might be onto something that, yeah, the agent or Kuminga, both their camp, they misread the situation or the market.
Yes. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, you know, now, of course, I wish I'd know what if, and I don't know what to believe anymore, but was Kuminga offered a contract last summer? And if so, about how much was it for?
Well, it sounds like there were obviously discussions of a contract, but it never got to the point where the dotted line was not signed. And I'm starting to think, too, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm starting to think it would have been better for both parties if they had just found a way to get a deal done.
Yeah.
Because at the very least, you would be able to trade him right now. Kuminga would be able to get out of here. He would be paid. And the Warriors would have a concrete asset.
Yeah. This is from the 415 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. Rafi and you are both wrong, Steiny. No restricted free agent has received an offer sheet. No, I know that. There's four of those guys that have not received an offer sheet from any other team. And that's why they're still unsigned, and that's why they may remain unsigned for a while. I got you.
Until October 1st. Like, that's the date. That's the date that Kuminga, along with Giddey, Grimes, and Thomas, they all have to decide whether they want to sign the $7.9 million qualifying offer from their respective teams, which would make them unrestricted free agents at the end of the upcoming season. It also means that they would control, if their teams try to trade them, where they go. They have a no-trade clause in effect. I don't think the Warriors can afford to let it get to that point. And if Kuminga is willing to do that, he's also willing to risk a lot. And that, to me, would be the worst possible case scenario, not just for Golden State, but I think for Jonathan as well, because he's risking a potential, like, if the offer ranges from 17 to 25, let's take the low ball side, that it's 3 for 51. Well, there's no guarantee that $17 million a year is going to be out there next summer if Kuminga doesn't play well, if he gets injured, if he has a bad season. He could tank his value even more. So to me, both sides should be benefited by coming to a deal. They just have not been able to figure it out yet. All right, I see Leroy in Oakland. I see Raider Rich in San Jose. We're going to get to your calls on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries take on Paige Becker and the Dallas Wings. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game or on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. Brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. Evan in for Goo alongside Steiny. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Well, no, I feel like I should be on a beach somewhere with a Corona.
Very festive.
Yeah, Steven Risotto coming in on a foggy Friday in San Francisco.
Hot. It's Friday. That's the point. It's Friday.
Sun's going to come out about 2:12, I'll tell you that.
Well, the sun's got to come out at some point. Actually, I think the day's kind of appropriate. Fog's so thick you could cut a hole in it.
Yeah.
Like pea soup.
I got one question for Warrior fans about, like, if you understand the situation and you kind of know we're at a little stalemate here, why wouldn't you want Grayson Allen if you could get him?
So, I mean, you want me to be honest?
Yeah.
And it doesn't just apply to Grayson Allen. We were talking about this a bit during the break. I would be apprehensive to acquire any contract that extends beyond Curry, Butler, and Green. For a player that's not a young guy. Like, I think Buddy Hield and Moses Moody are right now the longest contracted players in the Warriors. And I don't know. I mean, Buddy's Buddy. But, like, if you got, let's say, Royce O'Neal and Grayson Allen, who are rumored to be potential targets in a Suns deal that would send Kuminga to Phoenix. I think both of those guys are under contract through 2028. That's something I think that would scare Golden State right now, considering their future and just how questionable it is.
O'Neal's guaranteed through then, and Grayson Allen has a player option on that last year at $19 million. But, I mean, let me tell you something about Grayson Allen. He led the league in three-point shooting 2 years ago.
Didn't he almost shoot 50% one season?
He shot 46% from three-point range in 23-24. He played 75 games for the Suns. You know how many minutes a game he averaged? 33 and a half. He played 74 games and 33 and a half minutes. That's jeez.
Oh, heck yes.
I mean, I get it. He's, it would feel underwhelming, but last year he shot 42.6%. Playing 24 minutes a game. He tries defensively, he can shoot the three. I get it. The 3 years is something you'd have to deal with, but what if I said this? I'd be surprised if they get a player better than Grayson Allen back in this deal.
If they trade him this summer.
Correct.
Well, right now you wouldn't be wrong.
That's true.
There's no one else that's been on the table. It's Devin Carter and Dario Saric.
Right.
Yeah, I think Grayson Allen's better than people give him credit for. And also, too, if you're telling me that I'm going to get a disgruntled Kuminga back and pair him with a head coach that is kind of going to marginalize him based on what he wants, that might feel like selling low for some, but I think that Grayson Allen could help you.
Yeah, Steiny, it's not the player, it's the contract. Yeah, no, I know. But here's the thing about that contract, and it plays into Fred Katz's story in The Athletic, that there's a perception out there that if Kuminga plays on the $8 million qualifying offer, that one of the GMs is like, well, their team build, it's going to mess up their team building because of what you said. They don't have any middle contracts other than Draymond Green at 26. They're unlikely to trade him. So it's hard for the Warriors to aggregate right now if a big name were to become available. However, if you trade for Grayson Allen, you got a guy. Okay, maybe it's not 25, but now you have a guy making 17, 18, and 19, and he becomes a guy you can aggregate down the line if an opportunity presents itself.
That's true. And 888-957-9570 is the number. Getting Zin for Goo along with Steiny. Leroy's out in Oakland, wants to get in on the conversation. Leroy, what's up, man? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday, Evan. What's up, Steiny?
Mm-hmm. You too.
You know what, you guys? If I didn't know any better, I would think Jonathan Kuminga was a top 10 player. All I've heard all year, Jonathan Kuminga, Kuminga, Kuminga. Hey, he's so athletic. Oh, is he? wow. And you look at the draft and the players that got drafted after him. I mean, we're looking for one of them now in Grimes. The players that got drafted after him that are playing well. You look at the guy from Chicago, Giddey, who got drafted one spot before Kuminga, and now we're looking at him. It's like, Kuminga, I know you feel that you're talented. I know you feel that you're young, because you are, and you got a lot to offer, but you just have not shown it. Now, whether it was when you got your opportunities you didn't show it, or whether it's Steve Kerr not playing you, what, for whatever reason, you have not shown it. Look, let your play talk for you and tell your agent to shut up. Go play for the Warriors. Look at it as a showcase year. If you think you are that talented, go out there and prove it. And then next year, everything else will fall in place, whether you're with the Warriors or not.
Good call, Leroy.
It's one avenue.
Well, that's the Ben Gordon avenue. Yep. So, again, in Fred Katz's article this morning in The Athletic, he posed two sides of the qualifying offer, a success story and a story of failure. The success story is Ben Gordon. Played for the Bulls on a qualifying offer, had a good season, was rewarded with a 5-for-$50 million deal by the Detroit Pistons. The other side of the coin is Nerlens Noel, who was with Dallas, played under the qualifying offer, got hurt, and didn't receive anything close. In fact, I don't believe in the remainder of his career he made, in terms of money, anything close to what the 4-for-$72 million offer was from Dallas at the time that he turned down to try and get more money. So it is risk. Now, one thing that does factor into this is Kuminga's position and his supposed skill set. Again, like, there's so many varying evaluations on who he is, what he is, that he might say, look, I'm going to be a wing next year, when wings in the NBA are at a premium, and I'm going to be 23 years old, I'm going to be an unrestricted free agent, and to Leroy's point, if I try my best and showcase my talent, someone's going to come get me, because you need players like that on your... In fact, it's one of the things the Warriors have needed for the last couple seasons. They just haven't been able to get it out of the player that we're now talking about. So, betting on yourself, to me, is a huge risk for the player, but it's also kind of it's really going to hurt the Warriors. And that's why I don't think they can let it get to that point. And it's why we're talking today, after hearing from Kuminga and his camp and Slater's piece, that's really the one card he has left to play.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wants to play on the qualifying offer, because if he did, I kind of think after 3.5 weeks, he might have signed it already.
Yeah. Well,
I can see. Is that an 11th hour situation?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that's the least desirable for Kuminga, because two things happen. He doesn't get paid and he's back here. I think this is estimated eyes on the YouTube chat. He's put it perfectly. He says, meaning himself, I'm on the fence. But I get both sides of the argument. And that's what I was, it's so funny. I was leaving after the last break, and I said, I know some people think we talk about Kuminga to an unfair degree, but this is fascinating. I mean, there's a lot of intricacy to it, but it doesn't mean it's like really, really, really complicated. And I'm with estimated eyes. If I ran the Warriors, I wouldn't. Like, do you think the Warriors right now know if Kuminga's going to be on the team or not next year?
No.
No, I don't think they do either. So,
I think some people in the organization want him to be, and I think some other members of the organization, frankly, don't feel that strongly one way or another.
Yeah.
If he's back, great. And that's kind of how I think Kerr feels at this point. I don't know for sure, but it's like, if he's with us, great. We'll try and make something work. And if he's not, we'll figure that out too. But again, and this is from the last stanza of Slater's piece yesterday, Kuminga no longer wants to be a secondary option or a fallback plan, fearing a minimization in important moments. I mean, how could you not fear that?
Exactly.
After last year. Again, last year was a contract year. Last year was a season in which the Warriors were playing great basketball at the end of the season. Yes, Kuminga got hurt and wasn't a part of it as much. But in the most important moments, it wasn't like his role was minimized. His role was erased. He didn't play. And so I completely understand if he says, all right, you're telling me if I sign this dotted line, Steve, that you're not going to do the same thing next year. You can't promise that because your actions have showed me something completely different.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right on the money, too. This from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Matt and Evan, it's not Grayson Allen the player. It's Grayson Allen the contract. It runs three more years, and the third year is a player option. So essentially, just for simplicity, Grayson Allen he'll make 17 this year, 18 next, and 19 the next. So he would be, you know, on the hook for the next 3 years, let's assume.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's not ideal for the world, but why would that be a deal breaker? Because, you know, under a different scenario, they would have brought Jonathan Kuminga back for, let's say, 4 years for 80. So, like, they wouldn't have had a problem with Kuminga for 4 years, but they would for Allen for three.
I mean, the difference is age.
Correct.
You know, if I don't know, but Grayson Allen might have been declining last season, and they don't think that his contract's going to age very well.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, but I'm less worried about Grayson Allen's age and him declining as opposed to letting Kuminga walk for nothing or him coming back on the $8 million. Like, if he comes back on the $8 million, if he's back on the Warriors under any circumstances, it's going to be, he's going to be such a focal point. It's going to be unbelievable because then the narrative will become all season long where they trade in Kuminga.
And we're going to be talking about a guy who's on the bench, at least at full strength. You know, I'm assuming next year is going to be Curry, Pajemski, Butler, Draymond, and maybe Horford. Or maybe it's Moody instead of Pajemski, but it's Kuminga doesn't fit into that starting lineup, at least right now. So the other part, it's like, you know, if I'm wondering where this thing can go, I just don't understand why the need to have Kuminga right now. Like, it's almost an indication of their lack of assets. You know, take the Houston Rockets, for example. Like, they moved Cam Whitmore for a couple of second-round picks, and I think that Cam Whitmore is a solid player, hasn't proved as much as Kuminga, but, like, they're kind of similar prototypes. They're young, they're athletic, they can really score the basketball. But the Rockets have a whole horde of young talents, picks, things that they used, obviously, to get Durant, but they got more than that. I mean, the Warriors, the reason why Kuminga is such a big ticket for Golden State is because he's the only chip they have left, and they need to find some way to get something out of it. I mean, what they're trying to do right now is acquiring a young player and a first-round pick. It's like trying to have your cake and eat it, too.
Right.
And the Warriors, if they continue down this path, might end up with no cake at all.
Yeah, I wonder what no cake at all looks like.
I think it looks like a qualifying offer.
That is playing with fire. You ever hear that song, Rolling Stones?
Sing it for me.
But don't
I know you wanna
play with me, cause you're playing with fire. Yeah, Mick Jagger and the Stones.
All right, let's go to Kermit in San Francisco. I don't know if you're a Rolling Stones fan, Kermit, but welcome to the program. What's up, man?
Oh, man, doing well. Just glad to be alive. How are you all doing today?
Awesome, man. What do you got?
Oh, man, I was just thinking about Jonathan Kuminga. When you look at him, the kid has a lot of talent, and I think it would be good for him to stick around and learn, you know, defense. Defense can be taught. And this kid could be with them as they go through the championship years, and that way he'll have a championship pedigree. You know, he'll have that within himself. But they got to give him a chance, and they got to do some training. I don't know if Steve Kerr can do it, but there's somebody in the organization that will take the time with that youngster because he has a lot of talent, a lot of talent.
He does have talent. He does have talent.
Well, and that we learned as much from the poll today from 16 rival executives. They think he's worth anywhere between 2 years and 5 years, $17 million, $25 million. I mean, it is a wide gap, Kermit, of evaluation. And I don't really think the Warriors are inclined to give in to his demands, and I don't think that Kuminga is inclined to try and help the Warriors out.
Yeah, and the other...
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, the other peripheral part of this is if you wait until October 1st, what does that mean for Melton and Horford? Are they really going to... They then would have to wait until that late in the offseason to figure it out?
Well, do you think they could risk losing them?
I don't know, like... It crossed my mind, absolutely.
Well, like I mean, the dirty little secret around the NBA is that like Horford signing with the Warriors.
Or retiring, I'm still hearing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something any 39-year-old is probably considering.
True.
But from all the bigwigs, it seems like Horford is signed, sealed, and delivered. Melton's potentially up in the air, but, you know... and this is another part, too. Like, Melton might not be ready by the beginning of the season because he's dealing with a knee injury. You know, the Warriors, I just wonder what they're thinking right now about all this. Like, do you feel like do you get the sense that there's urgency from them to get this done? Because Kuminga is the one that came out yesterday and said, I'm in no rush to sign a contract. I can't really recall a situation like
this. No, I think they'd like some resolution, but they realize that a dynamic has to change before it's going to get rectified. You know, the Warriors now have to be careful of bringing back a player, even under contract, who I think they know doesn't love it here. Like, do you want this guy back if you, and I'm not saying, forget about malcontent. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you want a player here who kind of doesn't want to be here? Like that. That to me might be a bridge too far. And I'm not going to have a guy on our team that's not fully committed. It's not that I'm worried about him being a locker room distraction. It's that I need everybody to be committed and sacrificing and doing all the things you got to do. Meanwhile, he's going to be playing on an $8 million deal, needing minutes to boost his value. Those two things are incongruous.
I'm with you. And this was actually moments ago from our sister station up in Sacramento, Anthony Slater, who again wrote the piece yesterday about Kuminga not being in a rush to sign a contract, is open to the idea of playing for the Sacramento Kings.
I feel like I'm about to fire up the Sacramento aggregation machines here, but like for example, Kuminga, you know, had contact with the Kings in the last couple of days, and it's the first time he's met Scott Perry, and this wasn't in person. But it's the first time he's communicated with Scott Perry, Doug Christie, and BJ Armstrong. And, you know, from what I gather, he liked, you know, the pitch that Scott Perry gave. And, you know, he's open-minded to the idea of Sacramento. And I think part of that, I know part of that is because part of that pitch is, you know, you're talking starting role. You're talking bigger opportunity than the Warriors are necessarily offering right now. And I think that's the part that shouldn't get lost in this whole situation is Jonathan Kuminga is not just looking for the exact contract he wants in free agency. He's looking for the opportunity he wants on the court.
And that's from ESPN 1320. That ain't in Golden State. Mm. That ain't in Golden State. And I don't know what the pitch is necessarily from the Kings. To be honest, I mean, that doesn't matter much to me. But again, I keep hearing it's about the role. It's about what isn't available to him on the team that he currently is lined up to play for if he comes back.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Kings. So they got
Monk,
Levine,
DeRozan, Murray, and then Sabonis.
You know, it's not a guaranteed 35 minutes a game on that squad. You're right.
Not unless they move someone. I don't know if they would try to move DeRozan.
650, I wouldn't laugh if the Warriors get Monk.
In the Laughing Monk studio.
Yes, I don't think very many Warrior fans would turn down Monk for Kuminga at this point. But that would mean that Kuminga would have to take a deal, at least in a straight up move of like $10 million. Does he want it that bad? You know what I mean?
Like, well, I think it would have to be more than that.
Well, Monk makes 20, right?
17?
Okay.
18? Yeah.
All right, let's just say 20 for the heck of it.
Yeah.
So the Warriors, oh no, it goes the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to sign him to something
25, and then they would have to tack on.
So yeah, you're right. So they'd almost have to sign it for 36. Never mind.
They're paying Levine 50. That's and this is from the 916. Kings are trying to move DeRozan. That could be where the issue is as well. All, of course, courtesy of the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. The trade with Phoenix, I think, would probably, if you're going to get O'Neal and Allen, would have to include Moody. And that might be something that people are interested in. I don't know. I mean, the Warriors, I think, like, if they sign and trade Kuminga and move Moody in some way, shape, or form to get veteran players, you're already probably bringing in Horford. You'd like to bring in Melton. That, to me, is what all in on next season would look like, because you are essentially cashing in your trade chip, which is the only one you have at this point. You would be moving another young player, and the only guy left of that younger core, if you want to call it that, is Brandon Podziemski. I mean, I think the Warriors are in a year-to-year operation, but, I mean, to completely dismiss even 2 years from now or 3 years from now, that's not something I don't know. I don't think they're interested in that.
Well, you mentioned another name, DeMar DeRozan. Do you think the Warriors would have any interest in him?
Yes.
Well, he's got a great contract. He's got two more years left at about 25 each. 25, 25. So if you acquire DeRozan, that becomes the contract that theoretically you could aggregate. Now, DeRozan is, oh boy.
He's at 25 this year, $25 million, and he's 36 years old. He's been pretty durable for a player that age.
And his contract.
I mean, hell, you're already bringing in Horford.
And his contract lines up with Steph and Draymond and Butler. I mean.
Well, does that interest people? If there is some way you could turn Jonathan Kuminga into DeMar DeRozan, and I'll do a little digging during the break on how that might be possible. Would that interest you? 888-957-9570. We also got to get to stuff from 49ers training camp. A couple of things that, I'm not going to lie, Steiny, might have irked me a little bit.
Oh.
Might have irked me a little bit. Just our overall coverage of training camp. And then even, of course, some of the stuff that you want to get into in regards to the defense. MLB trade deadline, I mean, really kicked off with the Rafi Devers deal, but some more moves coming down the pipe. Mariners making moves. As of an hour ago, the Yankees are making moves. Will the Giants get in on the action? All right, that segment was brought to you by Frontier Ford. Time's ticking at Frontier Ford. The 7,500 federal EV tax credit disappears soon, and our huge inventory of Mustang Mach-Es is ready to roll. Over 60 Mach-Es in stock, all loaded with tech and range. Don't wait for the deadline. Grab yours now. Save $7,500 and drive electric today at Frontier Ford. Gettings in for Guru. Steinmetz back after this, 95.7 The Game.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.